The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Chapter 4. Marxist Economics: How Capitalism Works and How It Doesn't. For most people, economics is a mystery better left unsolved. Economists are viewed alternatively as geniuses or snake oil salesmen. Either way, economics is dismal, boring, hard to understand, and ultimately a waste of time. Something for snobby professors or wealthy investors, but not for us. Marx rescued economics from the economists and turned it into a tool for explaining inequality, exploitation, and crisis, as well as a way to end all three. At the heart of Marx's understanding of the economics of capitalism is the labor theory of value. This concept is the foundation for the whole edifice of his theory of capitalism. Section: The Labor Theory of Value. At the beginning of his most important work, Capital, Marx described capitalist wealth as an immense accumulation of commodities. In order to get a handle on how capitalism worked, Marx began with this basic cell of the capitalist organism, the commodity, and worked from here, adding more features to present a systematic picture of the whole. It is similar to the method used by scientists who, if they want to figure out a problem, devise an experiment that eliminates as many variable factors as possible to isolate the phenomenon they want to investigate. They then work their way through a series of approximations back to the real world. In one respect, Marx started this way because he wanted to isolate key factors of the system, and then put them back together to show how they worked in their interaction and movement. Another reason, however, was that he wanted to show how the appearance of equal exchange of commodities in the market camouflaged inequality and exploitation. At its most superficial level, capitalism can be described as a system in which production of commodities for the market becomes the dominant form. The problem for most economic analyses is that they don't get beyond this level. Commodities, Marx argued, have a dual character, having both use value and exchange value. Like all products of human labor, they have use values, that is, they possess some useful quality for the individual or society in question. The commodity could be something that could be directly consumed, like food, or it could be a tool, like a spear or a hammer. A commodity must be useful to some potential buyer, it must have some use value, or it cannot be sold. Yet it also has an exchange value. That is, it can exchange for other commodities in particular proportions. Commodities, however, are clearly not exchanged according to their degree of usefulness. On a scale of survival, food is more important than cars, but that's not how their relative prices are set. Nor is weight a measure. I can't exchange a pound of wheat for a pound of silver. Yet there must be some quantitative relation that all commodities have. Despite their motley appearance, Marx noted, commodities have a common denominator. That common denominator is human labor. Almost all commodities are products of labor. Commodities exchange according to how much labor time they take to produce. In the real world, they don't, but Marx begins by constructing a simplified model of the economy for the reason already noted. Marx argued that the action of buying and selling mass quantities of commodities in the market reduced them, behind the backs of the producers, to quantities of abstract labor time. The value of a commodity, that is, how much of it can be exchanged for another commodity, is determined by the amount of labor time necessary to produce it. Necessary labor time simply means the amount of time something should take to make, more or less, using prevailing techniques of production. If, for example, I build a kitchen cabinet with my hands in a day, when a cabinet of the same quality can be built by a factory in an hour, I can't sell mine for 24 times the price of the factory-made cabinet. A great portion of the time it took me to build the cabinet is therefore not socially necessary labor. It is, as far as the market is concerned, waste labor. The value of one commodity becomes expressed in a certain quantity of another commodity. This explains why, for example, a car is more valuable than a radio, or a computer is more expensive than a pencil. One took more time to make than the other. Marx was influenced by the new economic analyses of the world presented by political economists like Adam Smith and David Ricardo. Writing in a period before the political triumph of the bourgeoisie, these economists wrote with a scientific rigor and honesty that later economists did not possess. The value of a commodity, wrote Ricardo, depends on the relative quantity of labor which is necessary for its production. This labor theory of value was dropped by later economists and replaced with the idea that value is equal to price. Price is determined by a commodity's relative scarcity or abundance. The idea that labor was the measure of value was too dangerous because it acknowledged that labor is the most important source of wealth under capitalism. But, as Marx pointed out, supply and demand regulate nothing but the temporary fluctuations of market prices. They will explain to you why the market price of a commodity rises above or sinks below its value, but they can never account for the value itself. In other words, while the price of a shoe and the price of a shoestring might fluctuate, shoes always cost more than shoestrings because shoes embody more labor than shoestrings. Of course, you can't look at a commodity, a car or a book or a shoe, and find any exchange value. All you'll see is that it is a useful object fashioned by human hands. That's because value isn't really a quality that any object has. Value is not really a thing, but a historically evolved relation between human beings that takes the fantastic form of a relation between things. Marx called the way in which capitalist society appears to imbue objects with the characteristics they do not materially possess, the fetishism of commodities. Value is a meaningless category outside of market relations, that is, outside a society in which independent, separate producers of commodities meet each other in the marketplace. All human societies produce useful things, but not all societies produce them for exchange, that is, as items to be bought and sold. End of section.